This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Robbie. No, you're not. You're on Mad. You can be on Robbie if you like. You're on Mad Wednesdays with Robbie and Dean. You should be on Robbie because it's Robbie's birthday bonanza today.
It is. It's Robbie's birthday today, everybody, and he needs some loving.
So far, nobody's taken the call for messaging him some birthday love, but that's okay. I'll take anything at this point.
I'm just remembering I brought you cake.
Oh, yeah. No, we need to go.
I've got all this cake behind me.
I've been looking at that bag, Dean. I'm keen to go through that bag later.
All right. Well, there's plenty of options for you.
We were just talking before about Melbourne Queer Film Festival and how quickly it seems to have rolled around.
It seems like only yesterday we were talking about the festival. But yeah, the 30th anniversary of the festival, the program is launching tomorrow. It's just around the corner.
Isn't that crazy? I bet a man who feels even more like it's come around quickly is the festival's program director, Spiro, joins us. How are you, Spiro?
Very good. Yes, I am in a little bit of denial about it and I'm only here for the cakes.
So. Yeah, good.
It's good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you, Spiro. Thank you.
Every single year, it must be a really daunting task having to come up, see all these films, go around the world, see these films, and curate a program that's diverse, touching on an array of different things for queer audiences all around Melbourne.
Yes, it is daunting.
And with the 30th anniversary, did you feel any extra pressure to make sure you get it just right?
Look, I think in the beginning I did, but I think what got me over the line in the end was basically I think what I could do is just kind of deliver another great program, and that's what the legacy of the 30th was going to be. It was just kind of doing something that we do really well, which is kind of showcasing the best cinema and LGBTQ cinema around the world. And I think we've gotten some really, really strong films this year, so I'm excited for that reason. And I only ever actually get excited when the program guide sort of hits the office.
Once you've got it in your hands.
Yeah, and then it's like, all right, this is happening now. I've got to do what's in there.
Has it arrived yet? Because tomorrow night is the launch. So have you actually got it in your
home? Spoiler alert, I do have it in my home.
Oh, didn't bring one in for the secret sleuth.
You know, I didn't.
It's no mean feat putting together this program. It's a massive program.
It's
and
huge.
People, I'm sure, will be able to check that out online or with the hand version, I'm sure.
Tomorrow, there'll be the app as well. Of course, that's not till tomorrow night on Thursday night when it actually all goes live. Mm. But some of the films have already been announced, haven't they, Spiro?
Yes. So we've done a few little sort of obviously we had our sneak peeks during Midsummer and then we announced a couple of our gala events. You know, we're so thrilled to announce our opening night film, Gay Chorus Deep South, which is fantastic. And every time I show it, I think I'm probably going to show a trailer tomorrow, I just cry.
Now, that's a documentary, isn't it?
It is. And it's actually, I think, the first time we've ever shown a doco, but it's a really wonderful, very inspiring, really moving documentary. I think people are going to love it. When I saw it with a huge audience at the Frameline Film Festival last year, people just went crazy over it. It's really wonderful.
Do you feel pressure to come up with a tops film to top and tail the festival?
Yes.
It's always a lot of pressure. I mean, everyone has opinions, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. But, you know, I think this year was interesting for me because I think the way I thought about it, and not to spoil what the closing night film is, we'll have to find out tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
I thought very much about top and tailing the festival with, you know, films that are very much about the past, present and future of, you know, I guess the queer community, queer film, and I think the two films speak to each other in very, very different ways. So I'm really excited about the closing night film.
Is that something, like when you're a program director for something like this, considering film is probably one of the most subjective medias out there, how do you sort of balance that? How do you sort of make sure you've got something for everybody there?
Well, I think you sort of realise you're not going to have something for everybody and not everyone's going to love what you show. But you do try and sort of get films that I think speak to general themes that are going to appeal to a lot of different people. Sometimes you just kind of really hope that it's, you know, a film that's going to surprise people and weren't expecting to maybe like or want to see. And it's a tricky one because I think the film sometimes can be, you know, overburdened with that expectation of an opening or closing.
I think something I always find really interesting is the diverse array of people who come and support the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Yes.
It's not just cisgendered gay white men over the age of 40.
No.
Or, you know, it is really diverse. There's non-binary individuals, young filmmakers, older filmmakers, people that this is their time of the year where they get out of the house. Yeah, Midsummer happened, but they didn't want to go out at carnival or didn't want to do that, but they love coming and going out with their friends and going to the cinema and seeing some films. And let's face it, like, there's so many different films going on. I've already got my 10-film pass and I've got my opening night ticket. And you may not like every film, but then talking about it with everyone afterwards and seeing all the community come together is really exciting.
Absolutely. And I think it's actually a festival that is very much about that shared experience. I think, you know, I go to MIFF quite a bit, but, you know, MIFF is a festival that I think people go on their own a lot. And
yeah.
I do, certainly. But I think with MQFF, people do go on their own also, and that's great. But I think it's also something that groups of friends go, and it's something that's very much shared. And watching a film with a queer audience is, you know, I say it all the
special.
Time. It's something, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, yeah. And if you perhaps don't like a film, that's an exciting opinion to bring to that as well.
It certainly is.
There's always one film, I think, that's programmed in every year that has to cater towards the cisgendered gay males that want that eye candy, like that kind of film. And it'll always be a chocker's cinema. And then we all walk out and we're like, well, there wasn't much of a script in that, was there? But that person was pretty. Yes, you're right. I prefer. Yeah. It's just so much fun. And it's one of the reasons why we love MQFF. Now, one of the other films that's been announced is the Centipedes film.
Yes, And Then We Dance, which I have to say is absolutely fantastic. I really kind of urge people to check this one out. Very interestingly, not unlike our film last year, Rafiki, which kind of really just people fell in love with. And I think Rafiki, if you don't know the backstory, had a lot of trouble in its home country in terms of its release. And there was a lot of protesting because of, you know, a lot of the really repressive laws in that country. And Then We Dance has had similar reaction in Georgia. But the filmmaking community has really embraced this film. And for me as well, it's really reminded me why MQFF and festivals like ours are so important, because it's a forum for people to see these films and to celebrate them and champion them. And I think, you know, it really matters that we're kind of there, and, you know, that's why we're still here 30 years on.
Absolutely.
Also exciting this year sees the return of Pitch Please.
Yes. Oh, wow. And what's really thrilling is that we're debuting the winning film, which is going to be before. I probably shouldn't spoil this, actually, but I'm going to.
Oh, it's a tease. We're just edging the audience.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, we're going to be screening this at opening night before the feature film.
Wow.
So very excited about that. I probably shouldn't have told anyone that, but I've just done it.
Cats out of the bag.
And, we just couldn't be more thrilled by this film and really proud of the fact that we've become kind of, you know, involved in making queer content as well as showing. And I think as a festival, it's such a wonderful position to be in. And so Pitch Please is back again this year. Applications closed tomorrow. Please submit. If you've got a film idea, you want to make the next, you know, queer film, this is an opportunity. And, you know, we, you know, it's really exciting.
Yeah, the details for that, you can find that on the Melbourne Queer Film Festival website. Even if you've just had an idea bubbling away, you know what? Just leaving it in your mind is going to do you no good.
Absolutely.
Put it in, apply. It's absolutely worth doing.
We're going to give you 10 grand to make this film.
What a
6K,
shot.
You know, pocket cinema camera to help towards that. It's really
what
exciting.
An amazing opportunity.
It must be really wonderful to see over the 30 years of the film festival for it to evolve in this way, to really be supporting filmmakers in a lot of different ways, especially now we've recently had people coming in and talking to us who are a part of the Quip Flicks film competition that's done with Melbourne Queer Film Festival in partnership with Quip Victoria and Thorn Harbour Health.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night is also not just the launch of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival's 30th anniversary guide with everything that's happening, but you're also going to announce the winning Quipflix film. Now, last year, the first year of it, two films were announced because you just couldn't decide.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow night with the four that were finalists.
You're going to have to just...
Bum, bum.
Could we see another plot twist? We love a good plot twist.
There's always room for a plot twist. I've got my cape ready. It's very exciting. Again, you know, you're right. This is another fantastic opportunity for us to be supporting queer filmmakers and, you know, getting stories out there. And, you know, I think it's really fun for us. I love it. I love kind of seeing, you know, new Australian queer work, and the fact that we're kind of involved in getting it made is so thrilling.
It's absolutely fantastic. Now, I know a lot of people wait until the guide's out so they can see what's going on, but you could do what I've done and jump onto the Melbourne Queer Film Festival website right now and just buy yourself a pass.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got a 10-film pass, which means no matter what, I'm definitely going to see at least 10 films. Let's face it, it'll always be more than that. But it means tomorrow I've got 10 films that I'm absolutely booking in to go and see. So as soon as the guide is launched, I'm going to open up my diary while I'm at the launch and I'm going to pick those films with my friends around me and pick what I'm going
to
see.
I can really attest to the fact too, once that guide comes out, if there's movies that you want to see, get your tickets. I left maybe a little bit too late trying to decide on the day to go and see stuff. Stuff sells out. A lot of the movies will sell out and you'll miss your shot. So if you want to see something, get your ticket.
And if you see me at the program launch tomorrow, I'm always up for recommending films for people if they let me know. I love doing that. So
you're going to regret saying that on air.
Because I probably will.
Of everyone running towards you.
Just as I was coming out of my mouth, I thought, wow,
would you like to give me out your personal phone number for those
who... That's not...
How much do you love it?
Spiro, thank you for coming and joining us today on the show.
You.
I know it's a huge week because tomorrow night is the launch of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival Guide, which means if you're not coming to the launch party, well, I'll be there, so boo-hoo, there you go. But more importantly, if you're not, then you can just wait. The guide will probably be live online about 8 o'clock, so you can jump online, see the films, and like Robbie said, start booking your tickets.
Mm.
You don't have to wait till the films are live. You can jump on the website right now and grab yourself a pass so you at the very least have it to be able to just jump online, put in your code, and then you can book your tickets for as many films as you can.
Go for it.
It's the 30th anniversary of the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. The launch is tomorrow night. Spiro, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, now I think it's time for us to have some cake and wish Robbie a happy birthday.
Robbie.
Thank you. Well done.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Robbie and Dean.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day. Live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.